You know, I've been doing these like French jokes in English.
Yeah.
Well, I've thought of a punchline.
Oh, go on then.
But I don't know what the joke is.
Go on.
Well, the word beetroot
is
betterave.
In French.
In French. So,
okay.
I'm gonna actually think it up on the fly.
Go on then. Right? Yeah.
So, I got it.
Got it.
I was at my French friend's house.
Yeah.
And he said to me, "Ear, did you get those dark coloured root vegetables?
Yeah.
That I asked for."
Yeah.
And I said, "Ooh, I'm not sure I have. I know I'm not."
Oh my God, you ruined it.
I'm not sure I did. And he said, "Ooh, you'd better have."
Oh,
that's. I think there's the beginnings of a good joke.
There is the beginnings of a good
but
joke.
But it very much is the beginning.
Yeah. Talking of beginnings, let's get on with it.
This is the Living Spit Podcast. Welcome to the Living Spit Podcast. Listen to the Living Spit Podcast. It's on the way.
Hello! Welcome to the Living Spit Podcast.
See, you almost sung that, didn't
almost,
you? But not
yeah.
quite.
The Living Spit Podcast.
See, yeah, that was good.
But we've already got a theme tune. So
I know, but yeah, it was like you kind of listened, as we obviously did, listen to the jingle.
Yeah.
You definitely aren't going to put this on,
later on.
But no. And it's almost like you were singing the jingle.
Almost as if I was. Well, hello, and thank you once again for tuning in. It's been a little while, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
Since we've been here doing this.
We're busy people.
We've got a lot on these days.
We haven't.
But we are in a very special place today.
Very special place.
Where are we?
We are in live.
Yeah, live.
In Havant.
Yeah, well, have we or not?
Shut up.
No, I'm not going to do that.
At the Spring Arts and Heritage Centre. And I've just been speaking to Sophie Fullerlove, who looks after this place.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying this is like one of our sort of homes around the country, isn't it?
Yeah.
We love coming here. It's a brilliant arts and heritage centre. I mean, it's very important to get the heritage.
The heritage. It's not just about arts.
It's not just about
it's the
arts.
Heritage.
It's heritage too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's near Portsmouth. You knew that. You're an intelligent audience.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just it's nice that she's called Sophie Fullerlove, and we are full of love for this place, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's never heard that.
No, I'm sure she's never heard that.
Didn't hear that every day.
Completely original. So if you're listening, Sophie, you won't be. You can have that. Use it whenever you like. So here we are. We're what are we doing here?
We're doing Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Yes, we are in the little studio they've got here. We've been here quite a fair bit in the past, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, not recently. We worked out yesterday on the way that it's been 2 years since we were here.
I know. It's crazy.
Quiz.
But then that's true of quite a lot of
places. That is true,
we come here with like a lot of our shows. In fact, I was just talking to Sophie and we've got some announcements to make later, but we're restaging a show that we did a few years ago in the autumn, which I will talk about later.
We'll talk about it later.
And she said, "Oh, that's too big for us, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, I think it is."
Yeah.
She said, "Stop doing big shows." And I said, "Well, there's only one that won't fit in here, and it's that one."
You can have any of the rest, Sophie.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, so we're here doing Beauty and the Beast, as Howard said.
Yeah.
And we did one show last night. We've got another one tonight.
Sell-out show.
It isn't difficult, is it? With the 35 people
stop
in.
It. Stop it.
All socially
you're always
distanced.
Doing this to me.
I just don't want you to get any...
I'm trying to big us up.
Don't want you to get any delusions of grandeur, you know. There are 30 people in, and that is sold out. Mm. So we're happy to call it a sell-out show. They're all socially distanced, and it's a lovely little studio they've got here.
Mm.
I always love playing here. So, it's brilliant. They were a lovely audience, weren't they, last night?
We
lovely
did.
Bunch.
They we did, yeah.
Laughed in all the right places.
Yeah, and some of the wrong places
as well. Which
always that's
like.
Always like. That's
I like
always
that.
Good.
I like that, yeah. It keeps you on your toes, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And we've got another show tonight and then back home. So we thought...
Well, you're going back out. I'm not.
You're coming
I'm going
off,
on an adventure.
You are on an adventure. Where are you going?
I am going to go tomorrow to Wimborne Minster.
Wow.
Because I've heard it's very nice.
What's that?
And, well, we're in Bridport on the night after.
We are, on Thursday.
On Thursday.
Night. Yeah, we're in Bridport.
And so I'm going to go to Wimborne Minster, and I'm going to find a wild swimming spot.
Wow.
And then I'm going to have a swim, and I'm going to go and go for a nice lunch in a cafe on my own. And then I'm going to go to Bridport.
Wow, lovely. Well, you heard it here first, folks. If you are a Wimborne Minsterian and you live there...
on Wednesday, you might just run into a little man I like to call Howard Coggins on his little rambles. He's off, he'll be off.
In fact, I'm on my own, so let's say, if this, when's this coming out?
I'm going to try and put it out today.
Right, great.
Yeah,
so,
if I can.
So if you are in Wimbleminster, message me via our website, and I will come and have a coffee with you.
Oh, now there is an offer. Come on. That is on a plate for you, Wimbleminsterians.
Yeah.
Get involved. Get a free coffee. Well,
no, hang on. At no point did I say I was buying the coffee. I said I will have a coffee. I was rather expecting somebody might buy it.
Well, come and buy him a coffee.
Such is the nature of my celebrity.
It's true. Somebody come and buy this man a coffee, for God's sake, in Wimbleminster on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. So, Wimbleminster. And if you're into wild swimming, let me know where the best spots are.
Oh, there we go. Please do that. And we'll have an update when we come back and see how you got on. What have we been up to? We've got some news. Do you want to talk about the news?
Well, let's talk about the B&B tour. So let's just talk about where we've been.
We should make it clear, that's the Beauty and the Beast tour, not the Bed and Breakfast tour.
No.
We haven't been touring Bed
and
Breakfast.
You were in Bed and Breakfast last night.
I did have a Bed and Breakfast last night, yeah. But Beauty and the Beast tour, where have we been so far?
We started off in the Pound in Corsham. Hi, the Pound.
Hello, Martin
and everyone at the Pound. That was great, wasn't it? It was really, it felt good to get back on.
Oh, it bloody
after,
did, yeah.
What was it, 6 months? Yeah. Five, 6 months?
Yeah.
So it was lovely to start doing the show again. Then we've been in our little theatre shop.
Oh, yes, for three weeks.
More of which later,
yeah. We might touch on that at some point.
And that was great. I mean, it's so weird, isn't it, playing to so few people.
30 people in there, spaced out.
I mean, like you said last night, it's not a first for us.
No.
I mean, Runcorn.
Yeah, we're used to playing small numbers,
Hereford.
Not in COVID times. So. Hereford and Runcorn.
But... But, you know, it's just weird in the theatre shop. Although, I have to say, the audience was bloody brilliant.
They've been really
lovely.
Sometimes it's been as if there's not social distance and it's a full house. The amount that they've kind of reacted to us.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally people are so buoyed by euphoria that they have full sex in the audience while we're...
It was a bit distracting, wasn't
it?
When that happened.
Yeah.
Especially when they asked us to join in.
We're not
into that. No. We're just here to do a bit of comedy, guys. So. But... different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So, that's been a lot of fun. And we're in Havant at the moment.
And we went to Salisbury.
We did a night on the Salisbury Playhouse main stage where we did Frankenstein 6 years ago or whatever it was.
It was fucking terrifying.
It was really terrifying because we'd been in the shop doing it to 30 people every night and suddenly we had 170 people out there and it was just nuts, wasn't it?
It's just a big room and a big old stage. But it was lovely.
It was really good and the audience was fantastic. So if you were in the crowd there, thank you because you were brilliant. What else are we doing? We got Bridport on Thursday and then next week we're at the Exchange, Stirmitz & Newton.
Yeah,
another home from home for us. Yeah. We love going there. And then... We are going to Chew Valley, I think.
We're
going to Chew Valley.
Chew Valley Arts. And then we're
Lyme Regis the Marine.
Weasley,
RHS Weasley. And then finishing off with
three performances over two nights
in the Minack Theatre in Cornwall.
Yeah, which is a highlight of both the tour and our lives.
It really, really is. We loved it when we went there with Henry.
Yeah, did we do a podcast from there?
I'll tell you what we did.
We did it in that dressing room.
We recorded an insert with Trimmo.
Yeah, yeah.
More on which later on.
Oh, there's a teaser.
We're going to be talking maybe to Trimmo later on if we're lucky.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Henry at home?
Yes. What have we been doing during
the lockdown, Howard?
This kind of second lockdown, we've talked about... We kind of said we're never going to do Henry again, apart from if somebody pays us a lot of money.
And it would be a lot.
And it would be a lot of money. It would be life-changing amounts of money. So we thought, we talked for years with our friend Neil Johnson, who's a brilliant film director and writer, about filming a version of Henry. Now, what we've learned from doing this and watching theatre shows filmed is that it doesn't really work, does it?
No, it's something always feels a bit kind of lost, doesn't it, with that? So we decided instead to, rather than kind of film a performance, a theatrical performance of Henry, we were going to rewrite it and reshape it into a kind of film version, but episodic.
Yes.
So it kind of, if you imagine it being like a six-part TV series, you wouldn't be far off. That's what we've sort of aimed for.
So we reshaped the script a little bit, haven't we?
Not massively. I mean, it's the same show, really. It's just kind of all the jokes are in there.
Yeah, they're all still in there.
And then Neil added his talents
expert
to it, and we've shot it. Now, what we haven't done that sounds like we finished it, but what we've come to realise is that the shooting. It's actually a very small part of it, and we are now in the process of post production. I think they say we're editing and doing all the kind of amazing visual effects. There aren't any visual effects.
But it's still a massive undertaking, isn't it? To get it together and cut it all and put the music in and all that stuff. So we're in the process of doing that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're not sure when that's going to be available because it depends on, you know, a lot of other things. But hopefully by the end of the year, I would say that would be good.
And how can people see it?
Well, we're not sure yet.
We don't know yet.
No, we're going to hawk it around some television companies just in case. Yeah. But we're not optimistic.
No, we're not. We'll probably make it available to people, general public, to watch for, I don't know, perhaps a small fee, try and monetize it. We'll see how it goes. So watch this space for news on that. Yeah. I guess
which space?
This one. What? I'm holding up my.
But they're not in the same space.
No, but they'll have to watch it.
Right.
Have to come to Haven. Just watch that space. Yeah.
I
mean, how dedicated are they?
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's a fair point.
Okay, so this week, what are we talking about?
Well, it's a slightly odd, given that we're not in Clevedon,
and
we've recorded many of these podcasts at the theatre shop. Mm. Today, when we're not at the theatre shop, we're going to talk about the theatre shop.
The theatre shop, yes. And as a special treat, as we teased a bit earlier on, we are almost certainly going to be joined at some point by the amazing Fiona Trim, who is not only our stage manager, a member of Living Spit, but she's the venue manager of the theatre shop.
Yes. So Trimmo is incredibly reluctant.
She is,
To do this. We've been on her to come on this podcast for, because obviously you've met Craig and you've met Ali and the other members of our team, and Trimmo's always good. She was supposed to do
a little slot, wasn't she?
That went for a ball of chalk.
Yeah, did.
But she has consented to be on the thing today.
Yeah, now she agreed because she says, I've got a lot of things to say about the shop.
Yeah.
So we'll find out what those things are a bit later on.
And what's weird is she's incredibly intelligent and erudite, and I don't know why she's
just a little bit shy, I think.
She is.
She likes being behind the scenes rather than.
Although I saw her give her Rosalind in. Was it Rosalind?
Yeah. No, Viola, wasn't it?
Viola in Twelfth Night when she was about 16, 17.
Was she any good?
Brilliant.
Oh, she is brilliant. She is brilliant, yeah. Okay, so we'll be hearing from Trimmo a bit later on, but first, let's have some comments from the listeners.
Now, have we done a jingle?
No, we haven't yet.
No, let's not.
It's not, no point.
Right.
Who cares?
So, Mike Slader,
Milky
Sadler, has said, haven't, that's near my ends. Haven't you been there before?
Oh, nice, Mike, I see what you did there. We have been here before, many times, as we just discussed.
I feel a little bit sick, just came out of my mouth.
Did it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's near your ends, is it, Mike? Where are you from?
He
can't respond.
No.
Maybe send us a comment.
Isn't he from, Brighton Way? I think he's from Brighton Way.
Let us know, Mike.
Yeah.
PJ Naylor, good old Pip.
Hi, Pip.
He says, thanks for a much-needed afternoon of laughter, smiley face emoji. I've only managed to visit the theatre shop once for the nativity, but everyone was very welcoming, and I look forward to seeing more things there in the future.
I don't know when this afternoon of laughter was.
Because
we haven't done any shows in the afternoon.
No. Oh, it was probably the podcast.
Oh, okay.
He listened to the podcast.
Oh, and he said,
afternoon.
Right, okay, yeah.
It was so long ago. Is that right, Pip? Let us know.
Yeah. David Phillips, hi David. Once again, right at the last minute, David. David's got a penchant for coming in right at the last minute with comments and
at the 11th hour.
I was livid.
No, I wasn't at all.
Hi
David.
Great to see you're out performing again. Looking forward to next Wed at the Exchange.
Yeah. We'll be there, David. We'll see you there. We will see you there.
Yeah.
Okay, what else have we got? Sarah Kennard.
Oh.
Now, she simply posted, Howard, a picture.
I've seen this picture of this.
It's an advert for your favourite footwear and my favourite footwear, Crocs. Now, she's just trying to get your pecker up there.
Yeah, if there's anything going to not make my pecker
up. Your pecker's gone right down, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So thanks for that, Sarah.
I saw a brilliant advert the other day. Not an advert, it was a thing. It was my sister sent it to me.
Oh, yeah.
that it was Crocs and somebody had been out in the sun in them. Now, and so they had spots all over their feet. No. And it was kind of, you know, this is what happens where you wear Crocs.
Oh, well, there you go. Let it be a warning to you, listener. Yeah. Don't wear Crocs in the sun. Or indeed, in the rain. Ever in any weather. They're not suitable for
it. Actually, I'll tell you what. We should ask Trimmer. Now, Trimmer is a very keen gardener.
That's right.
And I reckon she's got a pair of Crocs for the garden.
Well, let's make a mental note when she's in ask her about the Crocs. Right.
Kevin Robinson says, I think you need to mention the outstanding contribution by the wonderful theatre shop volunteers. I would say something myself, but too modest.
I didn't know he was American.
That's Kevin, who is a volunteer.
He is a volunteer.
Who's a brilliant volunteer.
He is. He's one of our fantastic team of volunteers. I'm sure we will be mentioning those volunteers, Kevin, so don't you worry about it. Mike Slater again, and this is the question that's precipitated this whole episode in a way, because last episode we read this question. We said, you know what, Mike, we haven't got time to answer that now. We'll save it for another episode, and we have. He says, when/how/why did you acquire the theatre shop? I actually want to know, lads. It's cool that you have your own theatre shop. Do you ever use it as a shop?
Now, I'm going to just interrupt here. Please now, we've got to say a huge congratulations to Mike Slater.
Yes,
because who worked with us on Frankenstein and is an outstanding human being in almost every way.
He is.
He got engaged since the last podcast.
Yes.
So congratulations, to you, Mike.
And I hope you proposed with the Living Spit podcast on in the background.
Yeah.
Because there's no other better way to propose. And that's probably influenced her decision to accept your proposal. So so congratulations, Mike. I'll give you a little round of applause there.
A very little round of applause.
Very small.
That's what, if you wondered what it sounds like when we do our shows at the moment, at the end, this, it sounds like this. That's it.
Yeah. So, well, Mike, you're in luck, because today we're going to talk about the theatre shop. So let's cast our minds back to that heady year, Howard, 2015. When the theatre shop was born, and rerun the fun with
the birth of the mirth.
People ask us, where'd you get your ideas? Well, let us tell you lots of blood, sweat and tears. And now we'll tell you how we maintain these careers. For what it's worth, it's the birth of the mirth.
Did you just say, what did you just say?
I just said rerun the fun.
Rerun the fun?
Yeah, let's rerun the fun.
I mean, what was that about? You've never said that before.
You've got to rerun the fun sometimes.
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Right, it says here.
Yeah, go on.
Quite clearly.
Yeah.
Describe it for someone who's never been.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because we're working a kind of radio format here. So, and we assume that people know what the theatre shop is. And that they've been or seen something. So, why don't you describe it for the listeners, Harold?
Well, so imagine, so Clevedon is where we live, is a nice Victorian seaside town.
It's
with
beautiful.
Lots of lovely, like, little boutiques and stuff like that, and beautiful Victorian architecture. And in the middle of it is a really horrible 1980s
shopping precinct. Yeah.
Well, it's not really horrible, but it's just out of character with the rest
of it. It's a bit run down, a bit tatty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do with some TLC.
Yeah, and so there's a series of shop units around the edge of this square, which has a B&M on it.
It does.
And there's a Superdrug, and there's a Boots, and there's a is it Clinton Cards? No, it's not. It's something like Clinton
something like
Cards.
Card Factory, or maybe.
Card Factory.
Something like that.
And it's one of those shop units. So if you imagine a kind of 1980s shop unit, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
And it's not really much more than that.
No, not really.
So we got it's got a big window on the front, and you pull the
slide
the door back, and you come into what was the shop itself.
Yeah, and it's about the size of just a normal shop. Like if you go into, say, Boots or Superdrug, it's about that big. It's just a mid-scale kind of shop unit, really.
And it's rectangular.
It's got tiled floors. It's got stone walls painted kind of white, I guess. It's got
Breeze blocks,
that's it, isn't it? Yeah. And now, when we got it, it was just completely empty. But we have now put in some infrastructure to make it into a theatre. So what we've got is, on one side of the shop, we've got a piece of steel deck, which becomes our stage.
Yeah, with a couple of little wings next to it, but they're tiny. A
couple of little curtains drawn across, aren't they?
And then
we've got some truss in the ceiling, which we've got some lights attached to shine down onto the stage.
And then we've got a load of, well, basically fold-out chairs.
Yeah.
With with cushions on,
yeah,
that can be kind of configured however we want them.
Like, yeah. And we've got Trimmo has got a little kind of tech corner where she sits with her computers and her laptops and a PA system for the sound.
And then upstairs, what was the sort of stock room?
Yeah, the storage room.
There's a couple of toilets, obviously, and then we built a bar. Well, we didn't.
We didn't have much to do with it. Who did build the bar, in fact?
My friend Ben Darlington. I mean, he wasn't my friend at the time. I get to know him during that thing, but now we're very good friends.
I
made a friend, yeah.
He makes amazing things with wood and stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah.
With his company. So he built this amazing bar unit for us. And we've got lots of shelves behind with drinks and things.
And there's a little dressing room and a little office.
Storage room.
But it is tiny, and you know, you walk straight in off the street into the auditorium.
Yeah.
So we've kind of done the bare minimum really to make it into a theatre. It is still very much a shop.
Yeah, yeah, and we quite like that kind of bijou nature. We're not trying to hide the fact at all in any way that it's a shop unit, but it's something unique. So that's what it's like if you've never been. But why haven't you ever been?
Yeah.
Is my question.
Well, maybe because they live in like Germany or something. Or even like Sturminster Newton.
Abu Dhabi.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you should come.
Do you know the people in Dubai, they don't like The Simpsons, but the people in Abu Dhabi do.
You should have said the Flintstones, though.
What did I say?
The Simpsons.
Oh! Right, I'll do it again. Okay.
Go on.
Definitely cut this out.
I'll cut this out. We might save it in just to see that, yeah.
Okay. The people in the Flintstones...
Yeah. No, you ruined it again.
Right,
ruined it again.
The people in Dubai...
Yeah.
they don't like the Flintstones.
Don't know.
But the people in Abu Dhabi do.
It was worth the wait, wasn't it? It was worth the wait.
I don't even know why I said that.
So, back to the shot.
Sorry.
How did it come into being? Do you remember the story? Let's go back to the birth of the Mirth and see.
Okay, so quite early in Living Spit's career, we did a lot of work with Theatre Orchard, who are an organisation...
Somerset-based.
Yeah, North Somerset-based kind of arts promotion and organisation.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to do a thing... We were trying to get money to do a thing called, what's it called? The thing that Show of Strength do.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, there's a company in Bristol that do this brilliant thing, which is monologues in shops.
Yeah. I think what it's called now.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and we were trying to get some money to do that, and they develop with writers and then get actors to do, you know, monologues. It's all about getting people into shops, into local shops. Unfortunately, the money didn't come through, but the town, the North Somerset Council had pledged some money towards it. And when Fiona Matthews, who was working with, who is Theatre Orchard, really, she went back to them and said, look, it's not happening now. Do you want your money back? And North Somerset said, no, we've allocated it. Go and do something in shops.
Mm. Yeah.
So she asked us whether we wanted to make a show for a shop.
An empty shop unit, of which there were lots in Clevedon at that time around that area.
So she commissioned us to make a show called Devil and the Shopkeeper, which we've talked about.
We've got a whole episode about that back in the archives. So if you want to hear more about that, then find that episode. So we won't cross over into that territory too much.
No, but that was a free show that we did in a shop in Clevedon.
Yeah.
And it was sort of very successful.
It was.
We didn't convert the shop at all.
No, it was just an empty unit.
Yeah.
People sat on the floor, I think, most of the time. But you came up with a sort of idea when we were doing that, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I remember being in Fiona's car, actually. We were dropping something off, and I said, hey, we could turn this into a pop-up venue, this shop. We should, you know, we should do that. And as she does, Fiona Matthews, suddenly,
she made
3 months later, there's an Arts Council bid gone in, and it's all kind of happening. So we originally, in 2015, did a kind of pop-up theatre season. Well, I say we. I mean, we were involved, most definitely, but we were on tour at the time with other things. So Theatre Orchard...
We didn't get much hands-on work on.
But we did get involved in the kind of, you know, concept for the theatre shop and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you want to carry on?
And then it sort of happened. So we came back off tour and there was all this stuff in there and it was some of it was borrowed and some was sort of hired. And before we knew it, it was a theatre, and we were planning a season.
Mm.
So the idea was that we would do shows there, obviously, because we were so involved. But also, we would host other people's work in there and make it into a proper theatre, which was a very exciting idea. And that began to happen. We had some amazing kind of acts come down, didn't we?
Yeah.
And perform there. And the idea of it was just going to be a season, wasn't it? As you said, it was a pop-up kind of season.
Well, it was an incredible season because it was what was it, 45 shows in 30 days or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It was crazy, crazy sort of festival, which was great. But, I mean, we realised that was unsustainable long term. But we thought, well, now we've done it, you know, we can keep on doing it.
Yeah, yeah. So we did.
Yeah.
So we had another season booked, and then we did another one.
Yeah.
We've just carried it on. Really.
I say we should be very clear that when we say we, it is certain. Well, we're a very small part of it, really.
We are.
Trimo, Fiona Trim, who we'll speak to in a minute. She's the kind of main woman behind
it. She
is. And we've got an amazing team of volunteers.
We have.
Who work with us. And there's Petra, who does our marketing and things. So it is a very, very much a team effort.
It is.
We are a very small part of that team.
Definitely. Well, I mean, every time we want to sort of get more involved, we have to go back off on tour. So the work is very much done by a team of much better people at it than we are. So we touched on Trim a little bit.
Yeah.
Why don't we get her in?
Let's get her in. Yeah. So that's very exciting. So
let's say hello to Trimo, Fiona Trim, or the Triminator, whatever we call them.
Yeah, yeah. So
and say hi, Trimo.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. We know that you're a bit reluctant to speak because you're a bit shy. But
I think it's shy, I'm just not somebody who likes the limelight.
Yeah.
No.
But thank you for talking to us.
Now, the very important question that we need to ask you to start with, which has come up already, and this is probably the most important question, is that we know you're a very keen gardener. You've got both a garden and an allotment. Do you own a pair of Crocs?
Yes.
Right, this is going to be a difficult interview. Yeah. No, we're only joking.
Now, can we just check, with those Crocs, do you ever wear them when not gardening? Be honest now, Trimo.
No.
Would you ever wear them to the shops?
God, no.
Oh, right. Okay, good. We're back on level.
We're back on track.
We're fine. The interview's going to be fine now.
I very much regard them as outdoor slippers.
Yeah,
fine. This is good.
Yeah.
I mean, like this.
You know, I wouldn't even do that, but
no,
I'll
make some allowances for you. So, Trimo, you're a member of the Living Spit team.
I am, yes.
But you're also the venue manager of the theatre shop in Clevedon. And that's what we want to talk to you about today. So tell us, how did you come to be involved in the shop running it?
Well, when the shop was set up, I was working on, you know, on an ad hoc basis for both Living Spit and Theatre Orchard, who were the two organisations involved in setting it up. So I was very involved from the start, and I was, as I was responsible for the tech for both organisations, it all came down to me, really.
Was that tricky, doing those both things at the same time, and was there crossover between them that was difficult?
Well, no, because I've always had a reasonable amount of control over what went on in the shop, so I was able to, even more so now, in terms of scheduling things, so that basically I'm free to do both.
Oh, that's good.
It's all about you, Trimo, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you were working, Haddock. With Theatre Orchard and
Haddock, is that
ad hoc? It was a terrible joke.
I see.
I mean, not as terrible as the Abu Dhabi joke.
Sure. Well, at least you got it right this time.
Thanks. So we were just talking about that first season. Tell us a little bit about that first season, because it was mental, wasn't it?
It was mental. It all sort of blends into one a little bit. The first day, I remember particularly, because obviously there was huge amounts going on and everybody was very, you know, under pressure, and we had stuff happening outside and stuff happening on the pier and stuff happening in the shop, and we hadn't done any of it before, and I just felt I was in a constant stream of being two steps behind of another bunch of performers turning up and saying, right, where do you want us to put this enormous thing then? And we're still thinking, oh crikey, how am I going to fit that in? So yeah, it was a bit wild.
Because there was performances both in the shop, and as we say, the shop is in a kind of shopping centre square, and we also had a load of outdoor street theatre.
Yes,
but also then the stuff that was going on in the Curzon, and there was stuff going on the pier. So it was quite, particularly in that first season, it was quite a spread out operation. Mm. There was lots of running around from place to place and you know, jumping in the car with a PA and taking it up to the pier and that sort of thing.
I remember trying to... Kate Dimbleby, who we've obviously talked to, playing a gig at the Curzon, which is... The Curzon is another organisation in Clevedon, which is a very old cinema, beautiful 1920s cinema, that we used as a venue for some of the things. We did some music there with Kate Dimbleby, and realising that we needed two PAs at the same time. And it's just and it was like, oh God, what are we going to do for Kate? Because she's like proper, and she'll need a proper PA. And I remember ringing around trying to get speakers and monitors and trying to find somebody who knew what they were doing.
Right, because we inadvertently double booked, didn't we? We were on and she was on. One of us needed. So what other highlights were there in terms of shows? I remember there was one in the square outside about an alien who'd crash landed.
That was the very opening day. That was the first thing that happened on the morning of the first
day.
It was stumpy, wasn't it?
That
was great.
And it was a huge big spaceship landed in the square. That was good.
Street theatre's a funny thing, isn't it? Because it's obviously not sort of very narrative, and it's always kind of involves the audience, and they have to kind of like bring people in immediately. Mm. Do you remember the guy who basically put a pipe, a hose?
The squirting man.
The whole act was about him, basically this guy in a leotard who... it was about 20 minutes long, but it involved him being connected up to a hose, and then at the end he would like they turned the hose on. He became this sort of human fantasy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that was great.
It was brilliant and mental.
It was really strange, but brilliant. What other stuff did we have in the shop that season that you recall specifically? Apart from us, of course, Trimo, because we were there.
Well, there was the first night cabaret, which was mental in the extreme.
Yes, that's right.
That had way too much stuff. Way too many people.
Well, it was quite ambitious, wasn't it? Because it was in this tiny, tiny shop, we decided to have a cabaret where about 10 or 11 different acts came on.
Including the ballet were part of the cabaret, weren't they?
They were.
So there was ballet, and then there was the
Hangman.
The hangman thing, which was massive. And the wolf costume.
Well, it was all compared by Dick Downey, wasn't it, in his wolf outfit. So he had to keep going on and off.
And he couldn't see where he was going.
No.
That was quite an experience.
The highlight for me was the poetry...
The poetry slam evening.
Yeah, that was good fun. For various reasons.
Well, there was there was a sort of poetry open mic night, wasn't it? Where various poets got up and did their bit.
And let's just say the quality was mixed.
It was mixed. And also they were we always talk about this now because it's stuck in our minds, but they're very scared of the lighting, weren't they? They'd get up and go, "Oh, that's a bit bright."
You were there, were you, Trimo?
No.
I, for some bizarre reason, I ended up being the technician
night. Well, so every different poet got up and said, "Oh, can I have the lights down a bit?" So Howard would oblige and just notch the lights down a little bit. So by the last person, you could barely see them. It was like they were performing by candlelight.
Well, if you haven't ever been on stage before, stage lights are really bright.
They're really bright.
And I'd like to point out that we have learned from this experience. So the recent poetry open mic that we hosted, which was very well run and to time, I took the decision to light entirely from the side,
so that there
would be none of this standing up on stage and thinking I'm being lit straight in my face.
Next time we'll do it by candlelight.
Yeah. But it's interesting about learning lessons. Like, what have you learned from when we started the theatre shop to now, and what do you do differently now than you would have done when we started, do you think?
It's sort of difficult to say, because obviously at the beginning I wasn't involved in the programming and the organisation of it, because Theatre Orchard were taking on that, and obviously we've sort of refined that as we've gone along, and you know, we wouldn't do a cabaret in that way, and we don't, you know, we have quite a clear idea of what nights sell and how much we can fit in without overstretching our audience. And I think that's quite important, and understanding what people will come to, really. I think that really makes a difference.
And we've everything's much more spread out now. So we try and do two seasons a year, don't we? A kind of spring summer season and then a autumn winter season. So all the autumn winter season's from the sort of beginning of October till Christmas, and then we do a season from sort of Easter till July. But it tends to be just, you know, a show a week yeah. or
although two having shows said that, 2 weeks ago we did 7 shows in 6 days
yes.
with four
yes.
different companies. So right. you know, and obviously under current conditions it's not much of a statement, but they did almost all sell out.
Yeah. that is true.
But the yeah. difficulty of that, of course, is putting too much pressure on our volunteer team, who do an amazing job.
Well, let's talk about those volunteer team. They run the whole building, essentially, don't
yeah.
they?
And yeah.
they without them, we couldn't make it.
Not at all. No. We're completely dependent on them for bar and front of house and general running around jobs.
Mm.
And
there's a lot fewer of them than there was in the original. I remember there being lots and lots of volunteers in that first month.
Yeah, I think that's, well, there's a couple of, I mean, partly because there were more people to drum up
yes.
the volunteers. So we had, you know, Theatre Watch had sort of a specific assistant producer on,
that's
on
right,
that.
Yeah.
But also it's easier to drum up a big team for us, what was at the time was supposed to be a one-off event,
yeah.
and sort of, you know, make the excitement about that. Whereas for us, when we're asking people to rock up week in, week out over sort of 3 months potentially, it's
yeah.
you know, it's a lot more to ask.
Yeah,
people,
but what it does mean is that the volunteers we've got are really you know, pretty regular now, aren't they?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so they sort of know what they're
yeah.
doing.
Yeah, we've got
much
a really
more.
Strong core team.
There's there's a lot less training needs to be done.
Yeah,
and if it does need to be done, the existing volunteers can sort of show new volunteers the ropes.
Yeah, because we do have a permanent churn of, I mean, over the last year or so, unfortunately, just before COVID, we had a sudden influx of people who were interested in volunteering,
right.
and we then shut down for
yeah, yeah.
the best part of a year. So that was unfortunate. But we have a constant flow of
yeah.
new people interested, which is, and plenty of old hands around to show them about, which is great.
Yeah.
And you mentioned COVID there. How has the theatre shop survived during the pandemic?
Well, I think we've done quite well, really, because we're small and we have low overheads. We've been able to, you know, we haven't had massive financial issues, and we've been, we've had some support from the Arts Council thanks to the council season that we had, the first season that we had, and
mm-hmm.
we've also had some local government business support. And so we've been able to therefore open and run at a loss with only 30% of our seats on sale and a limited bar service. And I think that's been really valuable. I mean, particularly for for the audience as well, but you know, tickets have sold really well. Everyone's been really keen to come in. We've had some really good feedback about how safe the space has felt.
Mm.
And the volunteers in particular have just been so pleased to be able to get out. And some of them haven't really been seeing many people during lockdown. So they've been really pleased to come out and start interacting and getting back to their normal lives again.
Great.
And for the performers as well.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a huge amount of venues open and a huge amount of activity going on. So people are pleased to be able to find somewhere where they can go and perform.
Yeah. And that's the great thing about Theatre Shop, is that it's very kind of nimble. We can program things kind of, because there isn't a big team, a big infrastructure, we can put things on at fairly short notice.
Very much so. Yeah.
And we can, you know, that's a really good way, I think, of supporting artists. I mean, there's lots of, this has all got a bit serious.
No,
there's all this stuff about supporting artists and, you know, artist development and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, most artists, what they want to do is just go and do their show
yeah.
somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we try and do, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's a limit to the sort of shows we can put on there because of space. I mean, we are limited to kind of, you know, generally up to 4 actors on stage, otherwise
yeah.
it gets a bit kind of crazy, doesn't
yeah,
it?
A little
yeah.
bit.
And you know, there's lots wrong with the shop in terms of, you know, the dressing rooms are the other side of the bar, and you know, you can't enter from the wings, you have to kind of come down the stairs
yeah.
from the dressing room, and you know, so there's all that. And we should say also that we don't have any security of tenure on the building.
No.
That it's we gifted it really by the people that own it,
yeah.
and if they want it back in any, you know, at any time, we're gonna have to give it to them. So you know, we are actually actively looking for another
new,
venue,
yeah,
so, yeah, somewhere a bit more permanent that
yeah.
we can rather than having to work around the issues, we can really properly bed
yeah.
in a little bit.
So
yeah.
I mean, if you're listening to this
yeah.
in Clevedon and you own a large building
yeah.
that could be used
with
as a theatre
potential,
yeah, then
get
just get in touch.
Yeah,
I mean, that's our problem solved, I think.
Well, I think so. Yeah, we're putting it out there. What is the thing you've seen at the shop, Trimmo, that stayed with you the most of all the acts we've had? Your favourite thing?
Bear in mind that,
Company accepted.
Well, we all know it's not going to be Living Spit. So why don't we just say other than Living Spit? Because otherwise it'd definitely be. It's like the Bible and the Desert Island Discs. Because it'll group word to Shakespeare. But you'd obviously choose that. So let's put that aside. Yeah. Right, so apart from us.
Well, it's lovely seeing... Luke Wright is great.
Luke's amazing.
And it's so great to see him in. And I've enjoyed all of his stuff. I also really, really enjoyed... And I know this is quite niche because...
You're quite highbrow though, Trimmo.
Because I was talking to one of our volunteers about this the other day, and she said this was a show that she said, oh, there was that awfully weird one, and I said, oh, that's one of my favourite things we've had in the shop. So, you know, it shows we cater to all tastes.
What was it?
That was The Castle Builder.
Oh yeah.
Llewellyn.
And
Kid Carpet.
Yeah, which I absolutely loved.
Yeah. That was bonkers.
I was
away and I didn't get to see that one, but I wished I had.
I saw it twice.
Did you? Out of choice or because you were working?
Oh, hang on. Did I see it twice? Maybe I didn't see it at the shop. Maybe I saw it at Larboard Tree.
I think you did, yeah, yeah.
So
that stuck with you.
Yeah.
We've had so many... I mean, like, the breadth of stuff that we get in is so good. We've had people that have gone on to do amazing things. Tom and Bunny. Fat Rascal, who are, like, properly up and coming now.
Brilliant.
They brought an early show to us, and that was amazing.
It was.
Six people on stage, which is massive for the theatre shop.
Yeah.
And it had so much energy and it was very funny. We've had Itchy.
Oh, Itchy. Itchy,
the bonkers Japanese musician who I can recommend to anybody.
The Wardrobe Ensemble show.
The Future of Sex, 1972.
Which I think I remember you saying was the best
that
thing
we've had awesome.
In the shop.
That was awesome.
Because I missed it in the shop and then saw it in the Bristol Big Studio.
That was awesome. And they're a brilliant company. I'm just trying to think what else.
I really enjoyed Kate Dimbleby's voice show.
Yeah, right.
I really liked that.
And Dave Min as well.
He did
his Dracula with us.
That's the only one I've seen.
Oh, it was so brilliant.
But he's been in a few times.
He has. I don't see him very often because he's technically self-contained, so I quite often book him on nights when I can't make.
Yeah.
But I did see Great Expectations. That was very good. And that got the audience really loved that. There was some really good feedback
on that. He's very, very, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that pretty much wraps it up, Trimmo, unless there's anything else you want to add. If people do want to
volunteer... She's just shaking her head. I do quite appreciate it.
If there are any people who potentially want to volunteer, how would they go about doing it?
The best thing is to email our email address, which is hello@theatreshop.org.uk, and I will reply to them.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Or via the website.
Or via the website.
So it says in big capital letters... Dismiss Trimmo.
Trimmo, you're dismissed.
Go on, off you
Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Trimmo. She's going. This is very Tay now.
Oh, that was lovely talking to
I can't believe we got her on. I'm actually kind of blown away.
Episode 23.
Brilliant.
We finally managed to persuade her by talking about something other than Living Spit.
Yeah, she's literally with us every day and she won't come on the
podcast. But she has. This is an exclusive, a world exclusive. So thank you so much to Trimmo for talking to us about the shop.
It's really nice actually doing this podcast because you do get to sort of like rethink about things,
don't you?
That you hadn't really thought about.
You get to rerun the fun, don't you?
That is the second time you've said that in this podcast, and I'm starting to worry about it. It might become a catchphrase.
I can see that on a t-shirt. My face.
Rerun.
Let's rerun the fun.
Oh, I tell you what, if we had a more like fans,
right,
who were as kind of dedicated as the ones we've got on this, we could sell a lot of merchandise.
All would be flogging it in droves, wouldn't we?
Rerun the fun. Hello!
Hello! Tom T came up with that idea, didn't he, of the t-shirts. If you're listening, Tom T, then we still want to make that.
Tom T?
Yeah, do you remember? You probably remember.
Tom T? Do you think he's being funny? Do you think he's named like Tom Tit?
This is the same joke you made when you had Tom T.
Oh, brilliant.
So if anyone listens
to
it, he's going, oh, he's making the same joke. Anyway, doesn't matter. Make it again.
Yeah.
Tom Tit.
I've done it now.
Too late.
Sort of
now.
Done it, haven't I?
All right. Well, that's a good point.
I tell you what. The people in Dubai they don't like the Flintstones, but the people in Abu Dhabi do. So,
Right. Let's. I think we're done on the shop, aren't we?
Yeah, Yeah, I think so.
I think so. That yeah. wraps it up.
Yeah. I mean, if you please don't think that this is the only time we can talk about the shop. If you've got any questions about the shop or anything you've heard today, then do kind of get in touch because we'll
and buy tickets to see something. You can get them at theatreshop.org.uk. We've got a season going on right now. In fact,
we have. There's always something. I'm going to check it out right
now.
Do
it. He's going to get it up. And I'll just say a quick. There's always something. We try to put on a large sort of breadth of stuff, so there's something for everyone there. That's what we try to do. So there are family shows, there are adult shows.
When you say adult shows,
well, it's not adult shows as in, you know, it's not a burlesque night, for instance, but that'd be not a bad idea, is it? There are comedy shows, there's family shows, there's adult shows,
there's burlesque
shows. There's not any burlesque shows. So there is really something for everyone. If you've got little kids and you're looking for something to do and you're near Clevedon, chances are, if it's a kind of half-term week, then there'll be something there to see.
Right, I've got it.
Howard's got the list.
So on the 25th of June, we've got Stand Up for the Shop, which is our stand-up evening.
Stand-up comedy.
We've got this is a not to miss. If you're in Clevedon, please, please, please go and see the Scottish Falsetto Sock Puppet Theatre Company, a company based in Clevedon. It's the other theatre company from Clevedon.
And
Kent,
they are
Sutherland.
Exactly as you'd imagine. They are a Scottish Falsetto Sock Puppet Theatre.
It is absolutely brilliant.
You will have guaranteed an amazing night if you come and see him. They're brilliant.
The aforementioned Dave Min is coming with Canterbury Tales on the 9th of July.
Yeah, and then we've got the Grimm Sisters coming on the 23rd of July. Two shows from them. That's Scratchworks Theatre Company. They're coming.
And King Arthur by the Last Baguette. Now, those last two are free shows and they're in the square outside outdoor shows.
So, you know, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
So we're giving it to you literally for free here.
You got it.
So, a great season in a lot of seasons that we've had. It's just another fantastic season.
You've said
shop.
Season three season. Times in that.
Yeah, and I'm going to season it with some more seasonings of season. So I think that's a good time to wrap up.
I'm on a Caesar salad diet.
Go on.
I Caesar salad. I eat it.
I'm trying not to laugh, but I do think that's what I'm saying. Okay,
it's the diet version of, I'm on a, what's it?
Seafood.
Seafood diet.
I'm on a seafood diet. Yeah. Okay, on that note, let's go to some
questions from the audience.
And now for some audience questions. Right, Stuart, I need to ask you a question.
Please do.
Right, why does that have a jingle and the comments from the audience doesn't?
Do you know what? I don't know.
I think we've missed a trick there.
I agree.
Well, especially given, and this is a bit of a spoiler.
Go on.
We haven't got any other features today. We didn't have any joy for any
so
of our
So
we've
got no
features.
Handyman Howard. We've got no Stew's Reviews. We've got no Emotional Stew, He's Here For You.
No.
We've got no... What other ones
Well, there's there? One at the end, but we will
There
do
is
that.
One at the end. We are. We can't lose that.
Can't lose that.
So first question we got is from our old mate David Phillips.
Hi,
David.
Him.
He says, as it is called a shop... Do you actually sell anything? And what are your opening hours? And if I was in the area, could I come in to have a coffee and a chat?
So, to answer those questions, what we sell, David, is dreams and experiences.
Oh, wow.
No, we don't. We don't. It's not an actual shop.
No.
It is in a shop unit, but we do
sell drinks upstairs in the bar.
Yeah, but not in a sort of shoppy way.
Nah.
More like a bar-y way.
Yeah, a bar-y way, not shoppy way.
Opening hours, we're only open when we've got performances on, because as you've heard, we're run by volunteers. So,
if you're in the area, could you come in to have a coffee and chat? Probably not, depending on what time it is. But we're not a church, David.
No,
you know what I mean? It's not a coffee morning.
However, if you were in the area, there is a coffee shop just across the square. So, you know, let us know. We'll come and have a chat.
It
sounded a bit desperate now. That's the second time
I've offered
to buy
you
coffee.
Come and buy Howard a coffee, David. So I think that answers that one. Next question. What you got?
What piece of theatre has affected you? You've seen has affected you each the most.
Oh, and who's that from?
That is from Jake Rayner Blair.
Jake Rayner Blair.
Just smell your ear.
I love that name. Well, we kind of touched a bit on that. I would say probably in the shop, since we're talking about the shop, we touched briefly on Tom and Bunny and Fat Rascal. That was the one that, for me, I thought, this venue really works.
Yeah.
You know, before that, it was kind of a shop. The novelty was there. But with that one, I thought, that is a brilliant show. And it worked brilliantly in that space as well. So that was the one that stayed with me the most. What about you?
I don't know. Is this just in the shop?
Well, or spread it out to be in general in your life.
I think 1972
The Future of Sex
was just like, that is just such a brilliant show. It was it was so kind of, it was like, it had like load of energy of young people, you know, in the way that only young people can do.
Yeah.
It was like really funny, unpretentious, but had real kind of artistic merit. I loved that show. Outside that, I tell you what, this is the show that's affected me the most.
Yeah,
right. And it's not in the shop, and it's a very long time ago. When I was at drama school, so that's getting on for 30 years ago. It is actually 30 years ago. We went to see there was a company that came over from New York, and they did a show called Faust Gastronome.
Oh, I remember you.
And it was this version of Faust where he was a cook rather than an alchemist. And it was there. That was the show where I realised I had a very narrow view of what theatre could be. This says really pretentious.
No, not
please.
At all. We can go to these places.
It was kind of, you arrived and the characters were literally cooking. So you came in, it was an amazing smell of food.
Mm.
And then it just became this kind of incredible theatrical experience, which was at turn kind of really extraordinary and also really disgusting. I mean, like, you know, the whole thing, how will I explain it? You know, there's kind of, at one point he starts to basically shit various things. And not literally,
right.
But, you know, people were being passed, you know, like sausages, and then Adolf Hitler was shitted through. And it was just, and then the end of the show was him covered in, they were eating Chinese takeaway and spitting it into his mouth.
Oh,
yeah. And then,
God.
And then by the end, he was covered in food, and they put him in, he was a little guy, put him in a big pot and cooked him. And it was just amazing. And then they, after the show, he put a dressing gown on because he was completely naked.
Right.
And the two actors just talked about how the show had gone for them in front of the audience for like 5 minutes. And it was kind of a bit pretentious, really kind of weird and not really my thing at all at the time.
Yeah.
But I went, oh, God, you can do all those things and that's okay. And
yeah.
I think that affected me more than anything.
Wow,
there you go.
That stayed with you, hasn't it?
What about you?
I think probably the show that's affected me the most was a one-man show of Scaramouche Jones. Remember this?
Yeah.
Pete Postlethwaite. And, oh my God, he was just electric. He held the stage for 2 hours, and he was probably pissed because he loved to drink.
I don't think that's a secret.
No, it's not a secret. But, God, it was just amazing. And like your experience, I thought that is what theatre can be. That's how simple it can be, and it can be boiled down to that amazing, just experience.
So it was an electric kettle, was it?
It was an electric kettle.
Because it was electric and he was boiling it.
So, yeah, it was basically, he came on, he put an electric kettle down and made a cup of tea, and I thought, wow.
That's electric.
That's electric, that is.
Sorry.
That's right. So PJ Naylor, Pip, he's got a question.
Hi, Pip.
If you had to run a real shop, what would it sell? I think I'd have some sort of like a greengrocer.
Would you?
Yeah, like cabbages, apples, onions. You know the things that are in
there.
That sort of thing. I'd like to wear a little green apron.
Right, nice.
What about you?
Gnomes, garden ornaments.
That I did not expect.
That was sort of the idea.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
There you go. I feel that's
answered it. There's a great in Spinal Tap. There's a great thing where the filmmaker asks, he's interviewing the members, and he asks Nigel Tufnell. He says, "And what if you weren't a rock star, what would you be?" And he said, "I think I'd own a haberdasher's." Yes, sir. We do those in black.
do you think you could do that?
I don't know. What are the hours? Which is one of my favourite bits.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We've answered that bit.
Amber Chappell, our friend Amber.
Oh, good old Amber.
Says, "I have questions," which is really Amber thing to say. Shops were there before you took it over? And did you find any typically shop things when you were doing it up? Like tills, shelving, carrier bags? How long was it empty for?
Well, I'll answer your first question, Amber, of what was there before we took it over. So there was a shop in the shop that we're in now that sold books and puzzles. And do you know what it's called, Howard?
I do, but I'll let you say it was called...
It was called Books and Puzzles.
And yeah, and then they, that went bust, so obviously they got out, and then we got in.
We should say, actually, we didn't say this earlier, that we talked about doing The Devil and the Shopkeeper, and how this sprang out of that. It's actually a different shop.
It is. It was next door, wasn't it?
It was two doors up.
Two doors up.
Yeah, yeah. What's now the kind of charity shop.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yes, it was Books and Puzzles.
Did we find any typically shop things while we're doing it? I mean, not really. It wasn't like we were going into, you know, Tutankhamun's tomb,
no.
Was it? It had all been cleared out, so there were no tills or shelving or carrier bags.
No.
I think they might have had some shelving sort of units on the walls, you know, those like
yes.
metal strips that
yes,
you put shelving.
Yes, that's right.
And we got rid of them.
Yeah, and there was, yeah, the stock room was empty, the stock
yeah.
room. So the simple answer, Amber, is no.
How long was
not.
It empty for, she asks.
It was a good year, I would have said.
A good
yeah,
year or so.
A good year. And they didn't sell tyres.
No, they didn't. So, hope that answers your question, Amber. And a big hello to Amber. And I know, Amber, you're working at the moment on Lauren Redding's show, Bloody L. And we talked to her on this podcast.
We certainly have. We should talk to her again about that show.
Well, she's too big for us now.
She is. She's Manchester Royal Exchange. Got big posters.
Yeah, huge
everything.
Big posters. She'd go, Living Who?
Living Who, darling. Not interest you. I'm fasting.
Yeah, that was it. So, hi, Amber. Hope you're having a lovely time on that show. I'm sure you are.
Milky Sadler, or Mike Slater, says, you spend a lot of time on the road. What's your favourite service station? And what's your typical order? Was it Gloucester?
I think it is Gloucester,
yeah, it is
isn't
Gloucester.
It?
Yeah,
Gloucester's
yeah.
a brilliant service station, and yeah. I'd highly recommend it to anyone, travelling or not.
What we have realised is that the further, and this is no reflection on the north at all,
right?
But the further you go south, the better the service stations.
Yeah, that is true.
There are some really grim ones.
There are.
On the kind of what's the M5? No,
yeah.
what's M6?
The M6.
So,
really grim. Yeah.
Yeah. But
Gloucester is a highlight, though, isn't it? It's the jewel in the crown of Britain's highways and byways.
Oh, definitely.
Isn't it?
Definitely. Although there's a really nice one, which we haven't toured to, but we have been to when we went to Edinburgh.
What's that?
Which is T-Bay Services.
Oh, T-Bay was nice. They got showers and everything
yeah,
in that one.
Yeah.
But our typical order, sometimes if you go to the Gloucester one, there's a sort of farm shop there,
yeah,
isn't there? Which,
yeah, really good.
Which changes the order somewhat
yes.
because it's quite nice. So, what would you go with?
I'd go for sort of like hog roast roll or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I was going to say hog roast roll.
Yeah.
They're really nice. And maybe a little cake,
ooh,
depending
yeah.
on the time of day we stop.
Yeah, or depending on the time of year, whether
yeah.
I'm dieting or not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, what's your favourite, Milky? Is that, we've talked about this a little bit, Gloucester Services, I think. I think you said it was your favourite as well.
Mm.
Why? And what's your typical order?
Yeah, we're asking that as if he's got any
questions.
Means to.
Well, he can
answer.
Comment.
He can comment.
He can comment, and we'll mention it in the next
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last comment is Sarkin. We've not heard from Sarkin
no.
before. So Sarkin, he or she says, "Hello, hello, Sarkin." Question from Haras Kinsoft. That sounds like a made-up name.
It
doesn't
does.
It?
Sarah Kin. Oh, is Sarah? Is Sarah? Somebody, Sarah.
Yeah,
this is
an anagram, isn't it? So,
yeah, and I think Sarkin might be that person.
Okay, well, so, Sarkin, we're on to you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Sarkin says, write a dating biog for each other.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to get some music on under this.
Okay.
I'm going to read mine.
Are we
first.
Doing this? You've
yeah,
actually
I've
prepared
I've
something.
Prepared
in
something
here.
For you.
I very deliberately
that's fine.
Didn't prepare anything.
Okay, so here's mine. Howard's dating biog. Cue the music. Stout, rotund, fat, beardy, nearly 50, would like to meet younger, more attractive female for surfing trips, long weekends away in the campervan, and they might be giant sing-along parties. Good sense of humour. In fact, I've co-written several comedy theatre shows with my brother-in-law. You've probably heard of us. Living Spit? No? Oh, well, that surprises me. We're up and down the country touring 200 days out of the year, COVID permitting. Anyway, if you fancy getting cosy under the covers with a steaming bowl of duck confit, watching reruns of Sharp starring Sean Bean, then I'm the man for you. Must have own wetsuit.
Oh, that was really good.
Now, I must just say at the beginning, stout, rotund, fat beard
oh, yes.
is a reference, rather than making fun of you, is a reference to our reviews that we've had, several that you've had,
oh,
where
well,
they just mention your size and shape for no real reason. And
yeah,
then,
I mean, I'm not particularly upset.
No.
But and of course, we do take the mickey out of that in
we
our
do.
Own shows.
We do.
But I always think, is that, I mean, we may have talked about this already, I'm sure we have, but is that, that's not acceptable, is it?
No, not
I mean,
really.
You wouldn't, you know, you don't, I don't think it's right to kind of make comments about people's appearance in a theatre review. Anybody, you know.
What do you think, listener? We've often talked about this, how annoyed we are at that. Comment on our performance, by all means. You know, and they do.
I do get that it's like sometimes a kind of a journalistic shorthand for kind of going, this is what he looks like, and that's the description, important. Yeah. So the fat beardy is... whilst it is hurtful, it sort of, in the context of the review, it was important, wasn't it? It's like, it's saying...
I suppose so.
You know, the dog is represented by...
Right. What I liked about it was that the first two are fairly sort of euphemistic terms. You know, he's rotund or... Yeah. He's, you know, they're trying to be polite, just sort of be descriptive. And then Susanna Clapp just went, fat beardy.
Yeah.
He's a fat beardy. So thank you, Susanna, for that, if you're listening.
Yeah.
I'm sure you are. So have you got one for me, a dating
one? I'm going to make one up on the fly.
Right, here we go. Cue the music.
Hi, I'm Stuart. I have big ears and a small penis. If you want to see it, you can come and see Living Spit's Frankenstein in the autumn. I'll be waiting. There you go.
Right, brilliant. So, okay, several things in that. We just talked about not mentioning people's body parts.
Yeah, I know.
You immediately go with big ears, small penis, right? Yeah. Second thing...
That was me being ironic for comic effect.
Second thing, I do not have a small penis.
No, you don't.
Everyone says this and it really annoys me.
Well, no, I don't think everybody says it.
No,
I don't. I mean, the trouble is, right, with the penis...
We've talked about this on Frankenstein episode a little bit.
All right, well, you know, it was a long time ago. The trouble is with the penis is that it's...
What is the trouble with the penis, Howard?
Go on. Is that when it responds to emotional and environmental stress.
Yeah.
So if you're both either cold or nervous,
it shrivels up. Yeah.
And if there's anything that's going to get you both cold and nervous, it's taking your clothes off in front of a room full of people.
Exactly.
So I don't think we can judge, really.
No,
but it was just a stupid... you know, funny thing to say, Stuart.
It was very funny.
And also, what I was trying to do is go on to... are we talking about this? No, we're not.
Well, I guess so.
Well, we can do. What we're doing in the autumn.
Oh, yeah, talking about Frankenstein.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, I'm going to have it on a T-shirt. I'm going to say, Frankenstein, you should see me when I'm relaxed. And a picture of a flaccid member, a large one.
Yeah.
Right, maybe it could be one of those global hypercolor. When I get sweaty, the penis gets large. What do you think? The technology's there.
I love it.
There's a T-shirt for you. Okay, so yeah, let's talk about when will we be back and what will we be doing and talking about. What's the news for the future?
Well, we talked about... Yesterday we were talking about this. We go, as you probably know, we have 6 weeks off in the summer. So from 18th of July, which is New Freedom Day.
Yeah. Is it? What's that? What does that mean?
Well, it means all the restrictions are ended.
Oh, yes, of course.
So we're going to do Frankenstein in late October, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to be... We can't announce where yet, but we're going to be back in sort of Clevedon and Bristol and other places doing Frankenstein in the autumn. So that's what's happening with us. But we would like to do another podcast before... the summer break.
Yes, we would.
We're committed to this now.
Yeah, we're sort of, aren't we? Yeah.
Incidentally, we were doing some filming the other day for a friend of ours, and we bumped into an old mate, didn't we?
We did. Yes, Heather Williams. Now, Heather Williams she used to run the youth theatre when I was a little strap of a lad, and Howard was in a show with her called Up the Feeder Down the Mouth. And it was all about Bristol's maritime history.
And that's sort of where we met and bonded, wasn't it?
We did.
So it's sort of the birth of Living Spit.
Yeah, so we managed to snatch up a little impromptu interview with Heather, didn't we?
We did.
And you can hear that on the next podcast we do, because we're going to be talking all about Up the Feeder Down the Mouth.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're going to bag a couple more interviews for that as well.
Yes.
It was 20 years ago that we did that show.
Can you believe it? No, I can.
2001. Yeah. So
I've seen the pictures.
Have you?
You look so young.
Oh, I was very young. I was 20.
Yeah.
Believe
I look really fat. I'm even fatter than I am now.
Yeah.
So Susanna Clapp, stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
So we're going to talk all about Up the Feeder, Down the Mouth and Back Again, which was the version we did in 2001. So tune in for that and rerun the fun with us.
Oh no, that's that third time.
Third time.
Brilliant.
Third time's a charm.
So
we'll be back talking about that very soon. But just before we go, there's one feature on this podcast. It's a firm fan favourite, and it's my favourite, and it's your favourite. It's Howard's End.
Howard's End, he's gonna end the show for us. Howard's End.
So today we've been talking about Theatre Shop, which is our little place in Clevedon that we help to look after. And we realise that that place, we can only rely on the volunteers that come and... help us run that, and in many ways.
I think I know where you're going with this.
In many ways,
yeah.
In many ways, they are showing real love for us by doing that and giving up their time for no money to help other people. And so, what I would say is that, like the volunteers at Theatre Shop, coming in and giving up their time for free, I would urge you all to remember to be kind.
Be kind. Wonderful words there from Howard for Howard's End. Well, we'll be back soon.
Yeah, we will. Sooner than we were before.
Sooner than we were before, and sooner than you think. So we'll see you then.
Well, it depends when you think.
Let us know. When do you think? We'll tell you whether it'll be soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
That was the Living Spit Podcast. Goodbye from the Living Spit Podcast. You've been listening to the Living Spit Podcast. It's gone away.
We always wave, don't we, at the microphone. Do, yeah. Why do we do that?
I don't know. They can't see.
No.